You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello, everyone. Welcome along. You're listening to the weekly golf podcast here with William Hill, Dave Kellner, Mike Grenham, Dave Tindall, in situ ready for the Nordea Masters and the Memorial Tournament this week. First of all, let me welcome along Mike Grenham. Mike's with us.
Hi, Dave.
How are you doing, sir?
Good form.
And Dave Tindall.
Hello, Dave.
We saw an incredible performance yet again from Jordan Spieth last week at Colonial, especially considering how badly he'd struck the ball over the weekend at the Byron Nelson. It does help when you only take nine putts on the back nine on Sunday when looking to win a tournament. His short game was spectacular, and Jordan Spieth back in the winner's circle again, Mike.
Yeah, he can certainly put, can't he? That fella, he can certainly put. It just takes a lot of pressure off your game, doesn't it, when you can hold par putts from anywhere. And good bounce back by Jordan after a couple of pretty moderate events. He played pretty badly at TPC when I picked him, and didn't play great last weekend either, did he?
No, he didn't. His ball striking was off at the Byron Nelson, definitely. And that's what made that performance even more impressive, I think.
Correct.
Chris Wood won the Errestrun BMW PGA Championship. Weird event, given that Danny Willett reached 12 under par after 27 holes and 9 under ended up winning the tournament, Dave.
Yeah, and you look at some of the discrepancies in the final round scores. They were really odd, weren't they? There was, Westwood, I think, shot 4 over, didn't he? It seemed there was a big sort of movement in the field rather than everyone sort of going in little staggered moves up and down. It was big wild swings here and there. And yeah, Chris Wood got it done. He played there well before, and I think he was the 54-hole leader there on his debut about 5 or 6 years ago. Okay. So it's maybe one that he's always thought, maybe I can win this. And he did.
He did. Let's get stuck into this week then. Two good events. We'll start with the weaker of the two tournaments, the Nordea Masters, in which Henrik Stenson is the 6-1 favourite here with William Hill. Lee Westwood is 12-1. Alex Noren is 16-1 along with Tyrrell Hatton. Rickard Karlberg 25-1, Thomas Peters is 25-1, Peter Hansen 28-1, and it's 33-1 and bigger the remainder. This event undoubtedly one of the weaker events in mainland Europe on the tour, but we have a certain degree of consistency as far as the host course is concerned, because after a couple of years at PGA National, the event returns to Brå Hovslott in Sweden, and this course hosted the championship in 2010, 11, 12 and 13. A par 72, quite a long par 72 as well, Dave, measuring 7,511 yards. Three par fives on the back nine, five overall, and looking through the stats of those that contended in the 4 years that I mentioned, driving distance weighted much more heavily than driving accuracy at this venue, Dave.
Yeah, well, that would make sense given it's 7,500 yards. Yeah, good to see Henrik Stenson coming back to his homeland. Gives it a bit of a boost, doesn't he? And otherwise, it would be a fairly... if you look at the prices, if you've got Rickard Karlberg at 25s, it kind of shows you that it's... Although, to be fair to him, he's got credentials, hasn't he? But I'm not backing him at that price, but... Yeah, there's a few names there. Westwood as well. Norren's won this tournament twice. Stenson's never actually won in Sweden, has he? Which is a bit of a gap on his CV.
He's been trying for years as well, hasn't he, Henrik Stenson, to win his home tournament, Mike. You look back through the amount of times he's played in this event. Has finished runner-up in 2004 and 2005. And I suppose rightly heads the market here.
Yeah, I don't think the field's as bad as you two are making out. I think there's some decent players in it. It's not at the level of Wentworth last week, but it's fairly deep when you look down the list there, so it's certainly better than some of the rubbish we've seen in South Africa and wherever over the last few months.
Undoubtedly.
Big one in Austria next week as well.
The Lioness, is it?
Something like that. Yeah. I might have changed its name, but yeah. It's not a great one.
So, he's a worthy favourite, but a bit short to be backing at sixes, I think.
He might be thinking Rory won his, Irish Open.
Time for me to take my national title.
Yes, yeah.
He's just a little bit out of form, isn't he? Which is unusual for Stenson, because miscuts aren't usually something you'd find on his resume, but he's missed his last couple.
Yeah, he's played a couple of very... Yeah, did you tip him in the TPC, Dave? And he didn't play well at all,
terrible.
Did he?
I was like, you know, you do that thing when you look at the leaderboard. Have I missed him? No, there he is.
Right. He withdrawn.
Yeah, four from the bottom. Thank you.
He was like five over after six in that event, wasn't he? It was all over.
Like, tailed off. Like,
which is a worry on a course that he likes. Because that's why you picked him, wasn't it? Yeah, so that would be enough to put me off. No one's saying he can't win, obviously, because probably the most talented player in the field, and you know, but 6-1. I don't know. No, not for me, I don't think.
Not for me either. Have you got picks in this, Mike?
One.
I've got one as well.
Yeah, one for me too.
I've gone for... Shall I go first?
Yeah, you go first.
Romain Vatel is my pick. The Frenchman, who's never won on tour, which is a bit of a negative, obviously. He finished fourth at Wentworth at the weekend, which I thought was a very good turnout, and then qualified for the US Open at Walton Heath.
Right, okay.
So he's either going to be burnt out or he's going to be on a high. So I'm taking a little bit of a risk. You know, a non-winner as well, but has decent enough form here. And has been playing quite well. It was 15th in China, 36th in Ireland before that, 4th in the PGA. Good greens in regulation, man. And can whack it a fair way as well, which I think is important here, as you've said. I think at 50-1 he makes some appeal. I don't have a lot more to say about that. I'm just hoping that he's not burnt out after. It's been a great week, hasn't it? Top five at the PGA, then qualifying for the US Open. I don't know if he's ever done that before. So, I think he's a player who he's one that I've got down as a winner for this year somewhere along the line. And he can certainly belt it a bit. So 50-1, appeal.
Looks fair. Romain Vatel, 50-1 for Mike, his sole selection in this championship. Dave?
Yeah, well, I've gone for a Frenchman who finished fourth at Wentworth. There's a worse price, so you've beaten me there. Julian Kahn.
Okay.
I've
gone for a Frenchman as well, a different Frenchman. Let's hope there's a Gaelic winner this week.
Was he fourth at Wentworth? No.
No, he wasn't fourth at Wentworth, my one.
Yeah, Kahn, obviously they got that fourth last week, which is really, really good. And it wasn't just a flash in the pan, it was his fourth top 10 in the last 10 starts. So he's someone who, I don't know, he always seems to be this sort of price, doesn't he? And never quite someone you think, oh, this is... But I do like him this week because he's got that, and he's also got really good form in Sweden. Last three starts in Sweden, 11th, 9th and 4th. And the 9th was at Bro Hofslott a couple of years ago. So he's got the course form as well in the bag. One little thing that I'll be mentioning as well in the PGA Tour section when we do that is that he can put good weeks together.
Right, okay.
So he followed a 4th in Malaysia with a 9th in Perth earlier this year. So off the back of that 4th, it's not like he's just going to then fade away again. I think he might follow it up. And I thought 40-1 for someone who, maybe unlike Vatel, he has won a few times, hasn't he, Kahn, on tour, which probably is fair to have him a shorter price because of that. So I thought...
Yeah. I like winners. I mean, you know, it is a negative against Kane. I think he's got a great chance this week, but I'd like him even more if he'd won at a tour win to his name. Because you've got to get over that mental hurdle, haven't you? Mm.
Yeah. So 40-1. I thought that anything shorter than that, I would have started to turn nose up a bit. But I thought 40-1 was a decent each way price for someone who does, you know, rack up his top tens and, you know, hopefully he'll get in the top five this week.
Julian Kahn is Dave's selection. I'm going with Sebastian Gross, who I've picked.
Full underrated Frenchman.
Yeah, this guy's. I think he must be slightly younger, I think, than Romain Vatel and Julian Kahn. Won twice on the Challenge Tour last year, and this is his first full year on the European Tour. Missed the cut at Wentworth, but that was his first missed cut since mid-March. He had made six straight prior to that. He's one like Vatel that can really blitz it off the tee. I think he's fourth in the driving distance category on the tour this season. And at the Irish Open, the event prior to Wentworth, he'd finished in a tie for 10th, despite having made two quadruple bogeys on the week. Made two eights on the par fours and still finished tied 10th. What in
two eights
he made, yeah.
And finished 10th,
didn't he? Finished 10th, yeah.
How did he manage that?
Well, I'll tell you how he managed that. He played the 16 par fives in 14 under par on the week.
Wow.
So it helps that there's lots of them here, then.
Helps that there's lots of them here. I think
it's almost like you've got a plan.
It's the first time ever I've been doing this podcast for 10 years. First time I've ever come up with a plan. But there are five par fives on this layout, which has got to be a positive for him given the way he plays them. Just does smack it a mile. He is susceptible to that huge number,
wow.
Sebastian Gross, which is a worry because there is a lot of water on this layout. Albeit, it's quite open off the tee. That's the way I see Brohoff's slot. You can get away with it somewhat. Played okay in US Open qualifying at Walton Heath, just like Vatel. Didn't play quite as well. I think he finished tied 16th, one under for his two rounds.
Missed out by a couple of shots.
Yeah, there's a couple of shots. But I think this is perfect for him, Sebastian Gross. If he's ever going to flourish on a course, this is the one with those five par fives, and I think you can eat them up this week, hopefully. And 66-1 is fair, so I'm going to point each way.
So I presume we're not going to look at the top Frenchman market, otherwise we'll have a big scrap.
That is a bit unusual.
Strange.
Three Frenchmen in the yeah.
Who else was close for you? I looked at Thomas Peters, I must admit.
Yeah, I did too, yeah. I've got a little exclamation mark.
There's a theme to this. I looked at Nicholas Colsart.
Belgian, yeah, very good.
A couple of Belgian bombers.
Can't think of a third Belgian, mind.
Peters, Hercule Poirot.
Yeah. Kevin De Bruyne.
Yeah. Peters is 25, so he's a little bit short, probably. But he did show a little bit at Wentworth, didn't he?
Yeah.
He whacks it a mile, as we know, which would, does seem to be quite a key criteria this week. He was definitely on my mind. Peter Hansen qualified for the US Open, by the way. Mm. He's Swedish, and he'll be up for this week, won't he? Playing a bit better. A bit of an outsider. He's not the longest, but if he can overcome that, I thought Felipe Aguilar might be have some interest this week. He's top 10s in his last two visits to this track, Aguilar, and he's a decent enough player, I think.
Yeah, well, you picked him when he won, didn't you?
I did, yeah. Yeah, I did, yeah. Mm. Got to cling to those old memories.
50-1 Felipe Aguilar in the betting. I must admit, Peters was the one that came closest. He's been nibbled at in the betting, hasn't he, since it opened on Monday.
Yeah.
He's into 25-1, but Wentworth, not a course that's guaranteed to suit his game, but he was on the coverage quite a lot, looked to be swinging well, and finished tied for 27th. And I think he's got a couple of decent results at PGA National as well, so Peters was definitely closest for me. And I did like Karlberg, who looks one of the better bets. And if you're looking for a Swede this week, he's short enough, but he's
slightly flattered by his final
round, maybe.
He kind of probably went into it without any pressure, and then the birdie started to he got hole in one, for example, didn't he?
Yeah.
So,
and that's why he's been found in the market as well, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, he's had some good form for a while, though, hasn't he, to be fair? It wasn't just one good week last week.
No, so he played well in Ireland as well, didn't he, recently?
Colsart's for me, just at 33, he's probably a bit too short, but he's found a run of form after just kind of feeling like he was letting you down all the time. He's found some decent form, and his only top 10 last year was in this event, so hopefully you've got some good memories for him.
Very good. Let's move on to the Memorial Tournament, this week's PGA Tour event, and it's a cracker, one of the most eagerly awaited events on the schedule. Not only is it one of the most prestigious events on the tour, it brings together the best three players in the planet as well, on the planet even. Jason Day is 6-1, just shading favouritism here with William Hill, from Jordan Spieth at 7-1, Rory McIlroy at 7-1, Hideki Matsuyama in the betting at 16-1, Dustin Johnson 20s, along with Matt Kuchar and Ricky Fowler, and it's bigger prices the rest. Rory obviously took his national title, we've talked about, against a much weaker field than this one in Ireland. We've spoken about Jordan Spieth, who was spectacular at Colonial. Jason Day comes into this event on the back of his Players' Championship win. You can understand why golf fans are purring about the prospect of those three going head-to-head.
Yeah, I don't think it's much. I don't think it's a very good event, do you? Like you two were saying. No, this is an absolute belter, isn't it? It's almost like major quality in parts, isn't it? So yeah, the top four or five players in the world. Interesting to see that Fowler and Watson, who have been kind of quoted as a big five not so long back, are down in the betting at about 7th and 8th, aren't they?
Yeah, very interesting.
So it does seem that mooted top three is kind of taking a little bit of foundations of building on that. They do seem to be separating, don't they? Can obviously change, but any tournament you've got those three in is going to be a mouthwater for a while anyway, while they all play like this.
Yeah, I can't wait for this. As for the golf course, Muirfield Village in Ohio is the host once again. Served as host since the inception of the championship. Jack Nicklaus design, space off the tee, certainly a second shot golf course, this one. And the greens that are small are heavily bunkered. Accurate iron play is probably a necessity around here. And now that the PGA Tour have broken down the strokes gained tee to green statistic into three new categories, strokes gained from the tee, strokes gained on the approach, and strokes gained around the green, it is probably wise to have a little look at those when you get opportunity.
It's getting a bit confusing.
It's getting a little bit confusing, but you can break it down now, and maybe strokes gained on the approach to the green is the one to look at this week.
For this week, probably that's the nearest to green. That's like greens in regulation and scrambling have kind of been outdated by these stats to some degree, it looks, doesn't it? They're a bit more intuitive. They take more things into. They're a bit more thought through, I guess, aren't they?
Yeah.
So it looks like strokes tee to green, which is, I thought was quite a good one, is now not as important as it was, because he's got on this chap who does them all, and I forget his name. I think they're great stats, these.
They're fantastic. When you compare them to what we've got on the European Tour,
Dave. No, but it's like night and day, isn't it? Yeah. It really is. So they're fascinating. It'd be interesting to see. I thought strokes tee to green was a key stat this week, because it was last year they measured that at this tournament.
Yeah.
Whereas they didn't measure strokes gained around the approaching the green or around the green, did they? So it's hard to know. I like to compare what past editions, what stats have worked there. So, but it does look like that strokes gained around approach the green is a key one.
Yeah, I think it is.
I'll stop talking.
No, like you said, they're intuitive and they are going to be brilliant in the future.
Yeah, they are.
But
they need a bit of bedding down. Yeah, they're only a few weeks old now. You don't have past history of them at the courses last year to see how relevant they were. But they're very interesting.
I know you just said about the difference between the European. So I mean, like, I was looking at the Swede, I think it was the Scandinavian Masters. It was called in one of its guises.
Yeah.
2009, Rickard Johnson won it. No stats at all for him for the week.
I did see that. And because obviously when you're looking at an event like we've just done the Nordea Masters, I like to go through those 4 years and check out the stats from each of the leading contenders in the 4 years. And yeah, it was just strange, wasn't it?
What do you sort of, why do you think, oh, a man called Pader lost them or something? What's not good enough?
The guy who's done all of this is a Columbia Business School professor. I've just remembered, I haven't actually looked up on the internet while you were talking.
You'd never do that, would you?
No, I wouldn't do that and cheat. Called Mark Brody.
Okay.
And if you want to have a look at it, he's at Mark Brody, Brodie, on Twitter. He's the guy that's devised all of these. He's written a book about it as well, so every shot counts.
You remember Brody's notes at school? It was a way of not reading Shakespeare. You just read bloke had like done all the hard work for you.
Yeah, we need some of him. Yeah.
We need someone like on the podcast, don't we?
maybe that was his dad or something.
As far as selections are concerned, I've actually not got one here.
What?
I know.
Statistical information that you've not got a pick.
I've got a few I want to mention, but I've not got a selection. How many have you got, Dave?
Two.
Mike?
1.5. 1.5. And an outsider.
Yeah, 0.7.
Yeah. Okay, you go first then, Dave.
The first pick for me is a decent price, I think. Kevin Kistner at 66-1.
Yep.
There are some decent prices, aren't there? Because
of
the big
top three.
Yeah.
I like Kevin Kistner this week. We saw him going berserk, didn't we? Last year, between the Masters and the US Open, he had three playoff losses. Absolutely fantastic run of form. And he also played well in this event. He was tied eighth, which came on the back of a fifth place at Colonial. So very similar, apart from those playoff losses, but he was 10th at Colonial last week. So I thought, right, here we go. He could be ready to really surge again now, because, you know, we saw how good he was at last year. And then, of course, at the back end of last year, he did get that win at the RSM after he'd finished second at the WGC HSBC in China. And again, he's a player. You look at how he racks up his form figures. He does them in consecutive tournaments.
Yeah, in clumps.
Yeah. So I think he's one of these get hot, stay hot types. He doesn't just bring something out of the blue. Normally he kind of advertises his chances. So I think this is a great time to back him, and at a big price as well, because he's got that tied eighth at this course last year. Last week at Colonial. He finished 66, 69, 66. So I think he's got a nice sort of spring into this event. And he's a player who just fits the course statistically as well. You look at, you said it's got room off the tee, but you look at the winners, there's more, there's quite a lot of shorter hitters, accurate hitters in there, aren't there? Like David Lingmuth, Matt Kuchar, I've won it in recent times. So he's 19th in driving accuracy. Par four, again, I don't quite know why, but par four scoring is good even though it's not a par 70. He's 12th in par four scoring. I mean, he's 9th on the Manila, 6th on the FedEx. He's just close to being a really top line player. I think maybe 66, his price has just reverted back to a price that you'd associate with someone who, well, is he, you know?
Yeah.
I think he's better than that. I think he's better than some of these, a bit shorter in the betting. Look at someone, I'm a big fan of Daniel Berger, but you can't tell me.
You love Daniel Berger. Yeah. I thought you'd go for Daniel Berger this week, though, because you're a big fan of him.
But you can't tell me Kistner's done, you know, wins and second places. And, you know, he's done more than Kistner has, for example.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that. 66 to 1, then, Kevin Kistner.
Yeah, I think
selection.
He's a really nice price.
Mike?
I'm going for a 66 to 1 chance. Russell Knox is my pick. He was 18th here last year, missed the cut on his only previous outing, and missed the cut last weekend at Wentworth on a course that I don't think probably didn't suit him really. But before that, was in a lovely little run of form, was second at the Heritage, 19th at Sawgrass, and second in Ireland when he possibly should have beaten Rory, but then Rory came with that miraculous late run. So this is a guy who now has a bit, one of his problems was he hadn't a win to his name, had he, of any substance. And he put that right in November by winning the HSBC, one of those World Golf Championship events. So I think his stature in the game has risen and his confidence has as well. Tops the tour in that silly old stat, greens in regulation.
Yeah, no, we don't even look at that anymore.
Isn't it, really?
Yeah.
Although he's 42nd in strokes tee to green, so you see that the difference. Still a very good number. Still not unhappy with that. But equally, he's 9th on scrambling, but 65th on strokes gained around the green.
Right, yeah.
Confusing, isn't it? Or that might be even approaching the green. I'm getting mixed up. But anyway, 12th on par 4 scoring average. All the nice stats there. I think he's playing a lot better. This is a ball striker's course, a second shot course. Definitely that's what Jack Nicklaus courses are like. I think Russell Knox is overpriced on the back of... He missed the cut on the number, by the way, at Wentworth. And had he made the cut, given that other people came back, he might well have had a decent
run. He had an eight as well.
Did he?
I think he had an eight at one of the par fives.
I wasn't surprised after Ireland to see him not go that well in the BMW. So I think he's got a decent chance each way this week.
Russell Knox, 66 to 1. Second pick, Mr. Tindall.
Yeah, I cannot not back Hideki Matsuyama this week. If he wins this week, you know, we talk about who you don't want to win. Well, I'm not going to put myself in that position. 16 to 1, that's
your sort
of
price, isn't it? Yeah, that's
working man's price.
You're trying to say, Dave.
he's just a real horses for courses type. You get different players, don't you? Maybe course form can be misleading sometimes. It could just be that the player played well that week and he would have done so anywhere. But I think it really does work with him in two tries here. He won it in a playoff 2014, came back and defended, was fifth. He also played it in the President's Cup the year before his win.
Yeah.
He played really well there. Without, you look at his bare record, it wasn't that good, but I watched a lot of that. He played really, really well. So here's a course he likes. He's actually said he does well because there's room off the tee and it's a second shot course. So he actually, you know, that's tuning into what he does best. And the horses for courses thing, well, he won earlier this year in Phoenix, and his two previous knocks in Phoenix were fourth and second, so get him on a course he likes, and he just keeps delivering, so I think he's got a fabulous chance this week. The other really big thing about him this week, you look at his recent form, tied 7th at the Players, tied 11th at the Wells Fargo, tied 7th at the Masters, tied 6th at the Arnold Palmer. Three of those were his best ever finishes in those tournaments.
Okay.
And that's not even the Masters one, he was... You know, tied 7th. I'm not even using that as evidence. But the other three, yeah, they were his best knocks at those respective courses. I just think he's great each way value this week. And he's good enough to beat those big three if it came down to it.
16-1 Hideki Matsuyama then is Dave's second selection. Mike, what's your half a selection?
Well, I thought this fellow was 66 in his 50s.
Ah, right, okay.
Which is why I made a little error there. The market odds are around about 66, but Mark Adzed has him a little bit short at 50s. So I suppose I better have some kind of bet on him. But Charles Schwartzel just caught my eye. Some decent form here. Missed the cut last year, but before that, 8th, 8th, 19th and 22nd here in the Memorial. Won the Valspar not so long ago. In reasonable form since, 25th in the Dean and DeLuca at the weekend. He's just a guy that, you know, his stats work pretty well for someone like this. Strokes gained approaching the green, strokes tee to green, greens in reg, all top 20 in all of those. Scrambles well. Has got that winning in the US problem off his back since the Masters, that Valspar win's quite a good one for him. I think this is just the kind of course where he does well. He's playing decent, and around 52-1 he's a decent each way bet for me.
Yeah, just have half a point each way then.
I'll have half a point. If he was 66, I'd have had a point each way.
Talking of, you know, the new, you talked about the new, what's he called again? Brody.
Yeah, Brody stats.
Do you ever look at those Sagarin World Rankings? Or is that how you say them? Sagarin? They're called Golf Week Sagarin World Rankings.
No.
And they're based on how players do when, like, in relation to the field quality or depth. So Matsuyama's actually sixth in those.
Right, okay.
Quite interesting. You get sometimes you get a weird name.
I thought all of the world rankings were based on the quality for the field, is that not right?
There's just more. You'd have to read the sort of explanation and the definition of what they are. They're part of Golf Week, kind of. They're called the Golf Week Sagarin Rankings. And sometimes you look at them and there is some big differences. I think they're a shorter measure as well.
That's interesting.
They're done over a year rather than 2 years.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're probably a more, you know, the thermometer timely check is relevant. Maybe sort of more relevant.
Okay. I'm intrigued by that because
what a bit of homework.
I'm intrigued by that because I like to weight tournaments. So for instance, this week when I'm looking at Jordan Spieth, Jason Day, and Rory McIlroy, and I'm trying to separate those guys at the top of the betting, I put more stock in Day and Spieth's recent wins, Day at the Players and Spieth last week at Colonial, than I do in McIlroy's win in Ireland because of the field strength. McIlroy's win in Ireland, albeit it was a good European Tour field, I think Spieth and Day's performances were better in terms of the
the
field strength. Definitely Day's.
Yeah, Spieth, well, it wasn't a remarkable field.
It wasn't
last
a remarkable
weekend,
field at Colonial, but
that's the US PGA Tour propaganda, believing that all their players are miles better than European Tour.
The media's seeping
true,
through to
it?
My consciousness.
It does,
yeah, possibly. The best European Tour players are generally those guys that are playing on the PGA Tour regularly. Do you disagree?
No, I don't disagree. I know what you're saying, but. I thought Rory's win was an exceptional final few holes, and I wouldn't diminish it in any way.
Who do you like best out of those market leaders?
It's a tough one, that, isn't it? Spieth, probably. He played well here last year. Yeah, I think Day doesn't have very good course form, but you can't rule any of those three out now anywhere. A bit like with Tiger, you know, they can win where they're not meant to, can't they?
I think especially with Day.
Seven
of 17 didn't have that strong record. The players at Sawgrass and just came out and played brilliantly.
He's definitely knocking down some walls, isn't he, of things that he'd never played or done well before. So, look, I wouldn't say all three of them have got massive chances. Great players. If I was to pick one for my life, it would be Spieth.
What about you? Out of those three at the top of the betting, who did you prefer?
That's a tricky one. Day's course form's pretty poor, isn't it? Maybe just Spieth. I think Spieth will win events where others won't, where Day and McIlroy wouldn't, because he can just put his way to victory, can't he? I mean, Day is a fabulous putter as well, but, you know, Rory couldn't possibly have won last week.
Hey, Dave, you undermined your case here. If you just go back on it, he's brought up these Golf Week. So these ratings have Day, McIlroy, Johnson, and Spieth fourth ahead of Jim Furyk. I can't have that. Can you have that, Dave?
I don't understand. But
they're only going off 10 events there.
Yeah,
Furyk. I don't quite know why.
Well, Furyk's been out for ages, hasn't he? Before coming back,
maybe it's his last 10 events.
Yeah, it must be his last 10 events.
And probably the latest three were rubbish because he wasn't fit with the previous seven.
He plays very well here,
You're going to get anomalies, but there's a... like, Paul Case is really quite high up in them.
I'll have to have a look at those when I get more time to digest it.
Yeah, like Francesco Molinari, 19th. Yeah. Now, you could have used that to your favour when he got that top 10 at Sawgrass, maybe.
Yeah,
that probably
possibly
helped him get there.
Yeah, probably. I would say that's one of the reasons he's there, isn't it?
We are some funny ones. Billy Horschel above Danny Willett. What's that about?
That's strange. That's strange. There's a couple of guys that I want to mention. Obviously, not got a pick in this event, but Kevin Chappell came close.
He's been cut, though.
Yeah, he's been cut 66 to 1 into 50s, so that put me off. But I thought 66 was a decent price.
He was 28th last week, I think.
Yeah, so, and he ranked 7th in that strokes gained approach stat that I think is important here, that I mentioned earlier on in the podcast. Matt Kuchar, 20 to 1, though. Couldn't have him at that price, but third and sixth in his last three starts, winner and runner up on this golf course, really close to contending at Colonial. Just had that that late meltdown in the second round, I think it was, where he made a huge number on 18.
Yeah,
I think he made 7 or 8 on 18, and that killed him. And Daniel Berger, I thought you were going to go for Daniel Berger, Dave Tindall.
Yeah, so close.
Never played here before, has he?
He played here, what, I think he missed the cut last year.
Yeah, that's right, he missed
probably
the cut.
Probably what put me off slightly.
Yeah, he just, in that, was it New Orleans when you picked him at 22 to 1 or something like that?
Was it that short, was it?
I think it was.
Yeah.
I think
he was. Saying he's not picking him at 50s, he's totally illogical, is that what you're saying?
No, I'm not, this is that a much stronger field.
That was at the peak of my super fandom.
Yeah, well, you were just raving about him as a potential superstar, and I thought, given that
I think his game's suited, isn't it?
I think it's suited ideally to this course.
I think there's some correlation between here and the Masters, because it's really fast greens, isn't
I agree.
Which bodes well for him, because he was 10th. The Masters, wasn't he, on his debut? Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. I just really like Kisner, and he was 16 points bigger.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
My best outsider was 7th at the Masters. I think a sneaky massive price, 150, Søren Kjeldsen. He's about 150 to 1, am I right?
Yeah, he is. I see him.
Yeah. His form figures are pretty decent since that event. He was 4th at Valderrama. Just check out his form. He missed the cut again. Another one who missed the cut, like Knox at Wentworth. But Wentworth's a funny course, I think. It's not for everyone, is it? Another one who missed it on the number. He's top 10 in the US Masters. This kind of course where, you know, hitting the greens in the right number and scrambling well, I could see Kjeldsen outperforming his 150s. It might be a decent top 10 bet or something like that.
The one that I liked at 150s was Jason Kokrak, because I just think he's close, Kokrak, to winning a big event. Had a horrible 9 on the 18s on day 1 last week, never recovered. That 55th place finish actually broke a string of a couple of miscuts and a withdrawal. Tied 6 at the Heritage, just missed out on the Northern Trust this year in a couple of big events. I thought Kokrak would have been my outsider at 150 to 1.
Yeah, big price that, Dave. Yeah.
What about Bryson, you want to mention?
Bryson DeChambeau obviously played well at the Masters.
It's weird, isn't it, though, because everyone's saying that he's only got to turn up to lock up his tour card, and now he can't make a cut.
Now he's 125s, yeah.
Yeah. Which is strange.
What about Duffner, Dave, who really should have been placed? We both tipped him last week. Not should have been placed. Finished 6, I think, in the end, didn't he? Didn't put well enough on a Sunday. He didn't play well enough on Sunday. I was very, very disappointed with that. I thought he could win.
The thing with Duffner is I see last week's golf course at Colonial being ideal for him, and he was 40s in a weak field, or weakish field, and this week he's 50s on a golf course that maybe doesn't suit as well when you've got the big three all there and numerous others towards the top of the betting as well.
Yeah, I think he was a bigger price in 50s. He's been clipped a bit, hasn't he, I think. So, yeah, he was close for me, though, having said that, because he's played tee to green the first 3 days was very impressive, I thought.
Well, I thought he was going to win. I was optimistic.
I didn't like his bogey on the final third. I said that.
Yeah, you did say that to me.
My old favourite Bill
Haas. I feel like I've just been told off there.
Yeah. Bill Haas plays very well here. He's not in very good form, but then again, he's 66 to 1. He does like this track. It ticks the boxes for him. So we'll see. I could have picked quite a lot of players.
Yeah, it's one of those weeks, if you want to take the top three guys on, you're getting big prices about the others.
And in reality, I think he's one of them will probably win.
Okay, let's recap the selections for this week. We'll start with your picks, Dave.
Yeah, so in Sweden, I'll have a point each way on Julian. How are we going?
Kane.
How are we now?
Yeah, Kane.
At 40 to 1. At Memorial, I will have a point each way, Kevin Kisner at 66s. and 2 points each way, Hideki Matsuyama at 16s.
Okay, just the one pick for me, Nordea Masters, point each way, Sebastian Gross, who I really like at 66-1.
Yeah, interesting that one, Dave. In Europe, I'll have a point each way on Romain Vettel at 50s, and in the Memorial, I'll have a point each way on Russell Knox at 66. Half a point each way on Charles Fortzel, just because he's not quite the price I would like at 50s. Now, I'll have a little look at Søren Kjeldsen. I won't put him up as a pick, but I thought he was overpriced at 150s.
Top 10, maybe? Or?
Yeah, I think top 10. He'd be about... We'll play this game every week. We'll play 12-1.
Yeah, we always go bigger than it actually is. Top 10 finish for Søren Kjeldsen is 12-1.
Yeah. I think he's been in very good form in some decent events, and this track where you, as I say, ball striking, getting it, and par 4 scoring, I think he could surprise a few.
Who's the player you don't want to win very quickly?
Jason Duffner.
I'll go with Thomas Peters.
I'll go with Kolsarts, although I don't really want any of the big three to win.
It's
boring.
Yeah, it's getting back to that point where it was getting we mentioned a few weeks ago. Oh, it's not boring anymore.
It is again now.
Yeah.
You want them to play well, but not win every week.
I want them all to be in the final grouping if they play three balls in the last round. That would be nice. Spieth, yeah. Day, and McIlroy going head to head down the stretch. Thank you for listening to the podcast, folks. Remember, you can follow us on Twitter at D Kellner, at M Grenham, at Dave Tyndall Golf. Get your bets on here with William Hill for the Nordea Masters and the big one this week, the Memorial. And we'll be back with a debrief and a look at next week's tournaments next Tuesday. Thank you for listening. Remember, download this podcast via iTunes by typing in William Hill and check us out at audioboom.com. And myself, Mike, and Dave will be back next week. Good luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.